Hear me now. There we go. I've been going through Joshua for about a year now. I don't teach often, but when I do, we've been going through Joshua together. Today I'm going through Joshua 7. There's a concept within this chapter that honestly is a little hard for me. It's hard for me to understand. So I brought a children's book. I'm hoping that this will help you too. This is a tale. Originally, it appeared in a collection of traditional, what's called Midrash, and that means rabbinical commentary that provides context or explanation for the stories and ideas that appear in the Bible. So the rabbis get together, they take this concept, and they go, how can we explain this to the people better? So this story is called A Hole in the Boat. Once there was a giant ship, its masts all in a row. It sailed the seas for 7 days through cold, rain, and snow. I show the pictures to my children, so you're going to see the pictures too. And every sailor had a job. The first cooked for his mates. The second steered the mighty ship. The third unloaded crates. The fourth man stood upon the deck and swabbed up every crumb. The fifth man was completely bald, and the sixth man liked his rum. The seventh was a fisherman, the eighth a fighter brave, the ninth a captain, and the tenth a pirate and a knave. So you have the characters here. And every morning, all the men would wake up with the sun to scrub and fish and navigate and sing this song as one. When every sailor does his part, we 10 men of the seas, our shanty echoes loud and clear above the ocean breeze. And when the sun begins to set into the ocean deep, then everything is quiet and the sailors go to sleep. Each sailor has a little room no bigger than a nook, with window, bed, and clean pajamas hanging from a hook. Now listen to what happened on a bright and cloudless day to all the merry seamen as they sailed upon their way. The sea was calm, as smooth as glass, the morning warm and grand, when suddenly the captain cried, "By George, I've spotted land!" The sailors 10 were overjoyed and shouted, "Hooray! We must prepare for our new home. We'll be there any day." "Remember, friend," the fisherman who caught fish from the ocean, he said one morning to himself, "I have a brilliant notion. I'll drill myself a little hole to help me catch the fish, and from my little bedroom, I can catch as many as I wish. The fish will swim right up to me, and I will reel them in. And when we get to solid ground, my business will begin." My heart is singing out with joy at my ingenious plan. For once I open up my shop, I'll be a wealthy man. He went inside his little room to drill himself a hole, then sat down in his wooden chair and cast his fishing pole. Any of you kids see what's going to happen here? But wait, a hole drilled in the floor? He'd bring the whole ship down. "Because of you," the sailors cried, "we're all about to drown." "Fear not," replied the fisherman. "No need for all this gloom. The hole that you're complaining of is only in my room." The fearful sailors bowed their heads, and one began to cry, It's true, the hole is in your room, but all of us will die." The sailors' room was flooding fast. How could they stay alive? They'd have to work together if they wanted to survive. They filled the hole with mortar so the ship would stay afloat. Then the mops and rags and buckets, they all bailed out the boat. The fisherman was sorry, but his mateys, they weren't sore. It's all for one and one for all. The men began to roar. The sailors 10 were thrilled to see the shoreline close at hand. They broke out in a joyful song as they approached the land. Our voices rise in harmony above the ocean tide. There's nothing we cannot do if we work side by side. Oh, I didn't show you that last one, sorry. It's sort of a simple story to help with a complex issue. I'm going to be reading from Joshua 7, starting at verse 1. The children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. To remind you what the accursed things are, we're going to go back to Joshua 6 real quick. I'm going to read Joshua 6, 18 and 19. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to Jehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Jehovah. So something that was silver, gold, bronze, or iron was taken when Jericho was defeated. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of Jehovah burned against the children of Israel. I hope you caught that. The anger of Jehovah burned against the children of Israel. Not against Achan alone, but over the whole community. His sin affected the whole community. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. Now remember, some of the people of Israel don't even know of this trespass at this point. They're not even aware. And so now they've got this small town that they're going to take over. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate as far as Shabirim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Achan's sin did not only affect himself, but 36 people were killed because of his selfish act, just like that fisherman in the story. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of Jehovah until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Jehovah God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Jehovah, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will we do? What will you do? then what will you do for your great name? Achan had caused Israel to question its whole existence. Why was it there? Why did we come here? The point I wanted to make was that sin affects our community. We can look around at our world and we see men that we thought were leaders. We've seen men and women that we thought had the right guide in their life, and we see them fall. And they don't fall alone. They take down churches. They take down communities. They take down homes. I wanted to go to Levi 10, 1 through 6. I'm going to show some other places where one person's sin could have affected the whole community. This first one actually is a spot where they didn't test it. And it's pretty remarkable if you think about it. Levi 10, 1 through 6. Leviticus. Yeah, I shortened it in my notes, so I didn't. But I didn't put it in the... Oh, I'm not at the right spot. That's for later. Okay. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Jehovah spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified.' So Aaron held his peace." Now remember, Aaron just saw his two sons being burned up. Then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar his sons, "Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Jehovah has kindled." And in this, Aaron didn't test it. He didn't mourn his sons in that moment because it would have affected all the people. This took a lot of strength for Aaron, I'm certain. No one wants to see something like that happen to their family, but he stood strong and continued to praise God through that. Numbers 16, 19 through 33. And here, this is about Korah, and he come against Moses. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of Jehovah appeared to all the congregation, and Jehovah spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." God is going to consume the whole congregation, everyone except for Aaron and Moses at this time. But Aaron and Moses fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" So Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, 'Get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.'" Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their children. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that Jehovah has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then Jehovah has not sent me. But if Jehovah creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected Jehovah." Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men with Korah and with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished among the assembly. This was a time that God was going to punish all the people, but Moses fell in front of God and begged for the lives of those. I think this very strongly points to Yeshua or Jesus, and reminds us of what he does for us every day. He falls before the Father for our soul. And last, I wanted, or last for this point was 2 Chronicles 24, 17 through 22. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of Jehovah, God of their fathers, and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to Jehovah, and they testified against them, but they wouldn't listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood above the people, and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of Jehovah so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken Jehovah, he also has forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of Jehovah. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son, and as he died, he said, "Jehovah, look on it and repay." I wanted to add that one in because I wanted people to realize that you may come against someone and you may want to help them. You may want to say, "Look, this sin is harming your family. This sin is harming our community." And they're going to stone you. They're going to take you out. They're going to say horrible things about you. They're going to hurt you if they're not willing to listen. You may become despised for standing up to sin. I wanted to continue on through Joshua. Pick back up in Joshua 7, verses 10 through 26. So Jehovah said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says Jehovah, God of Israel, this is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which Jehovah takes shall come according to the families, and the family which Jehovah takes shall come by households. and the household which Jehovah takes shall come man by man, then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Jehovah, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribes of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to Jehovah, God of Israel, and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against Jehovah, God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Jehovah. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? Jehovah will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So Jehovah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. The point I wanted to make from this section was God takes sin seriously. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 17:2-7. "If there is found among you, within any of your gates, which Jehovah your God gives you, a man or a woman who is wicked in the sight of Jehovah your God, in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told you and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently, and if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination has been committed in Israel, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed the wicked thing, and shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so you shall put away the evil among you." I think that's a pretty severe consequence for sin. Continue on to Leviticus 5:14-16. "Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, 'If a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of Jehovah, then he shall bring to Jehovah as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks, and with your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it, and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him." Most of the sacrificial system was put in place because of sin. Obviously, God takes sin very seriously. And we have to be on guard at all times. I'm going to continue to Acts 4. I'm going to start at 32 and read through 5:11. I think this story is very similar to the story of Achan. And I wanted to show this because this is after Yeshua had died and been rose again. This is evidence that God still takes our sin seriously. Starting at Acts 4:32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things and that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had had. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who had heard these things. So, we finished chapter 7. I'll tell you what, I had some trouble writing this last third point. I had come up with an idea of my own and tried to fit it in. I talked to Katie. I said, hey, this isn't really working. I need a closing. You know, what? We can't just sit here in our sin and in this death. There's got to be something after what happens. So we worked on it a little, but last night at about midnight, I was up because I work third shift, so I'm up anyway. And I pull out the Bible, and I'm like, I'm just not happy with this ending. So, like God does, he's like, continue reading. Duh. So I continued on, and I still wasn't sure. I was like, am I going to read all of 8 too? But that's not where I need to go. I'm going to finish with Joshua 8, 1 and 2. When I teach, I get pretty emotional, so don't worry about that. If I cry a little, it's all right. I'm fine. So now Jehovah said to Joshua, Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as a booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. God restores his people when sin is dealt with. God brings them back to where they were, and he gifts them the spoils of what is to happen. I wanted to go back to Joshua 1, 6 through 9, and 16 through 18. Here it is. Because I wanted you to see what this means. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Okay. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage. This is God talking to Joshua. And this is him setting him up as the new leader of Israel because Moses had died and now he is leading the people. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. Do you see what he said to him three times? Be strong and of good courage. And I wanted to show you this in 16 through 18. God was talking to Joshua alone there. But then we move on to 16 and 18. And he's calling the people to war here. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the God your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. This was the people saying back to Joshua what God had said, which confirmed in him who he was to be. And again, after this situation where they were defeated at Ai, God says, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. He's reminding him, he's restoring him back to who he is. I wanted to look at another situation where God restores someone after sin. And this is 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 15. Then Jehovah sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his chicken. It ate of his own food and drank with his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was a daughter to him. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As Jehovah lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says Jehovah, God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of Jehovah to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says Jehovah, behold, I will raise up adversaries against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "Jehovah has also put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of Jehovah to blaspheme, the child also who has been born shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house. Jehovah restored David his kingdom. There was still a consequence. His son had to die. But there was restoration because the sin was dealt with. But remember, just because there's restoration does not mean there's not consequence. And last, turn to Galatians 6, 1 through 5, because now what needs to be our response? What are we to do? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. We need to come along. We need to help the weaker brother. We need to point out sin, and we can't accept it. A lot of us look at this world today and we say, why have all these things happened? Why do we have things that just don't look right? It's because we've allowed it for too long. We need to stand against sin. We need to be willing to tell others that there is a God and he has a standard and what that standard is. Thank you, and may God bless you.